What is the point of it all? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is the St. Joe Society Podcast. The St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ by growing strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to learn more about our work, you can check us out online at stjosephsociety.org. All right, gentlemen, this is episode 3, Intro to Spiritual Theology, episode 3. The last two episodes, we've been looking at the nature of man. Because spiritual theology is the science of the saints, and we are trying, or the science of Christian perfection. So we are trying to perfect the human person. In order to do so, we have to have an idea of what the human person is. So we've spent the last 2 weeks discussing that. We also have to have an idea of where the human person is going. What's the point of it all? So this week and next, we are going to talk about the point or the last end of human existence. Now, when you're considering the last end or the goal of human existence, you can do so from two perspectives. The first is subjective. The other is objective. Now, subjective, what I mean by that is I don't mean it's different for everybody type subjective. No, I mean subject in the sense of what's the point of life that resides in us. So from the subjective point of view, what's the point of life that all human beings share qua human or as human, but it's in us. Objective meaning of life is the one thing we're after that's outside of us. That's what I mean by objective. So inside and outside. Now, to spoil the entire lesson, the point of life subjectively for every single human being is to pursue happiness. Okay. Why is it called subjective? Because happiness is within us. So the point of everyone's life, every human being on the planet has the same end. Namely, to be happy. Now, naturally, when you say the point of life is to be happy, hopefully that'll be clear enough by the end of this episode, what object can bring about happiness? The Christian answer is the only object that can bring about perfect happiness for every human being is God himself in the beatific vision. That's what we'll talk about next week. So when we say what the meaning of life is here, as Catholics, we believe there is a meaning of life. Holy cow. I don't know if you guys could pick that up, but a car went by with really loud speakers. All right. If you picked that up, my apologies, but not much I can do about that. When we say there's a meaning of life, there's the meaning of life is the same for every human being, everybody. It's to be happy in heaven, the two H's. Okay. So we'll talk about the first H this week, happiness, heaven next week. All right, here we go. So let's jump in. What in the world is happiness? Thomistic moral and spiritual theology is necessarily teleological. Okay, what is teleology? Teleology is the doctrine that there is purpose in the world, that nothing ever happens merely by chance, and that no complete account of the universe is possible without a final reference to the all-wise God. It's out of the Catholic dictionary. Teleology means that God made the universe to be end-oriented. That there is purpose to this universe, and that purpose is for the universe to return to God. Now, particularly, we have in mind here human persons. So a human person comes from God, and the point of life is to return to him. A great quote by Vernon Burke, a great Thomistic ethicist, says this. He explains, quote, to say that ethics is necessarily teleological, a teleological science means that we cannot get along in moral philosophy without giving some thought to the final cause or end of human actions. So the point, in order to know morally what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to go spiritually, we have to know where we're going. Brian Davis, Father Brian Davis, Dominican, great Thomistic philosopher, said this in his book, The Thought of St. Thomas Aquinas. People are creatures endowed with an intellect and a will. We talked about that last week. And are drawn to goals that attract them. Human actions are always voluntary, aiming for an end perceived as good. Since goodness is perfective or fulfilling, proper human action, i.e. the moral life, is always a movement to what is fulfilling or perfecting of the agent whose movement it is. People by nature desire and are attracted to what perfects or fulfills them. And in this fact is the foundation of all morality. Okay? Let's unpack this. All right. St. Thomas Aquinas borrowed a lot from Aristotle, whom he calls the philosopher. Now, Aristotle in his Nicomachean Ethics, okay, his book on the ethical life, he talks about the end and the good a lot. Okay, so what is an end? An end is that for the sake of which a thing is done. So it is football season. There's a lot of guys, a lot of kids in this country right now playing football and practicing and lifting weights and running hard. For what goal? The sake of which to win a football game this Friday or Saturday or Sunday. Okay, so the end, the goal of all that effort is to win the game. So the ends, when we talk about ends, we're talking about anything a person's after. Okay. Now, a good is that which all things aim. So all things aim at things that they perceive as good. All right. So why does somebody want to listen to this podcast and get an education? They think this is going to benefit this in some way. Why are people going to eat dinner tonight? Because they think it's going to benefit them in some way. Why are you going to sleep tonight? Aims are going to benefit. So when we're pursuing ends or goals, we pursue them under the heading of them being good or perfective. Okay. At least we perceive them to be so. Of course, we can make mistakes in our perceptions, but we at least think they are. All right. Well, for Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas, the question then is, well, what's the one end that we're ultimately after? So not just after winning a football game or eating dinner or going to sleep tonight, because all of those things aren't and their ends in some way, right? Their goals in some ways, but in other ways, their means, because we use them for other things. And so the question arises, well, what's the one thing that everything serves? What's the one goal we're after? Okay. And this for Aristotle and Aquinas and Jesus Christ is happiness. Okay. And here's from Aristotle. He explains it very well. We always desire happiness for its own sake, and never as a means to something else. Whereas honor, pleasure, intelligence, and every virtue we desire partly for their own sakes, but partly also as a means to happiness, because we suppose they prove instruments of happiness. Happiness, on the other hand, nobody desires for the sake of these things, nor indeed as a means to anything else at all. Happiness is the most desirable of all things. Happiness is something final and self-sufficient, and the end of all action. All right, for Aristotle and Aquinas and Jesus, everything we do is to become happy. Everything. Eating meals, taking showers, going to the doctor, playing football, playing cricket, whatever you're into. Everything we do is a means to the end of happiness. Because if you just question someone long enough, well, why'd you go to college? To get a degree. Why'd you get a degree? So I could get a job. Why do you want a job? To get money. Why do you want money? So I can buy things. Why do you want to buy things? Well, because buying things makes me happy. If you question why anyone does anything and you ask them enough questions, the final answer will always be because I think it makes me happy. Always. Okay. And there's nothing wrong with this. So some of you guys might be, you know, offended to your piety. There's nothing wrong with wanting to pursue happiness. God put that drive in us in the first place for a reason, as we're about to get to. But what is happiness? Happiness is it when we have a desire that is satisfied by the possession of the good thing we're after. Okay. So let's put these ideas together. Moral philosophy, Thomistic moral theology, and spiritual theology is teleological. It's always pursuing goals. Okay. The goal we want are ends that are good. Happiness is when we acquire those goods. So when will the football team be happy? When they win. When are you happy? When you eat dinner. When are you happy? When you get a good night's sleep. So when we have a desire for an end, when we actually possess the end, we become satisfied. So what happiness is in its most basic understanding is when we have a desire. Desires are for things we don't have, that is satisfied by possessing the good thing that we were looking for. Okay. Now notice, if this definition is true, happiness in this life is always, always fleeting. Because you win the football game, and you have, if you guys are athletes, you know the 24-hour rule. You enjoy the win for 24 hours, then you gotta get back to work to try to get the next one. You enjoy the satisfaction of a good meal, but you're gonna get hungry again. You wake up well-rested. You are happy that you are well-rested, but by that evening, you're tired again. So happiness in this life is what we're after, but it's always fleeting. Why? because the objects of this world are finite and temporal. So when we possess them, they bring us a measure of happiness, but not complete and perfect happiness. Okay. So in this life, we seem sort of stuck because we want to be happy, but happiness is constantly fleeting. Well, this is where St. Thomas jumps in and says, well, the happiness we're really after is perfect happiness. Okay. And why would he say this? Aquinas says this, quoting out of the Summa, "The will naturally tends towards its ultimate end, for every man naturally desires happiness, and all other volitions are caused from this natural volition, since whatever man desires is wished on account of an end." He's just repeating in different words what Aristotle said. "Therefore, the love of the good, which man naturally desires as an end, is a natural love. But the love derived from this of a good love for the sake of the end," in other words, the love for means of an end, "is an elective love." Okay, what's he saying here? Okay, what he's saying is we naturally want the good as such. Okay, so the good, the capital G good, is what we naturally want. What's presented before us is means to arrive at that good. So we are not free to not pursue happiness and goodness. We're not free to do that. You can't stop trying to make yourself happy. You can't stop trying to make yourself good. Okay. What you are free to do is choose this or that route to happiness. Okay. So some people think happiness is going to be making lots of money or chasing women or winning Super Bowls or things that they think that's going to satisfy them. And they're wrong. Other people choose the path to happiness through Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church and the sacraments and development of virtue and cooperation of grace and the arriving at the beatific vision after a happy death. That is correct. Okay. So we have choice in which path we go down. So when we're thinking about what's the object of our happiness, what path we should choose, we basically have three things we can choose from. One, we can choose things that are below us, like wealth and honor and fame and power and stuff like that. But these things do not make a person perfectly happy. Why? Because we use wealth, we use honor, we use fame, we use power, we use influence in order to become happy. They're not equated with happiness. Okay, sorry about that. So those aren't working. So those things don't work because we use them as means to happiness, but they're not happiness itself. You could say something like, well, maybe like if I acquire enough perfections within myself, like live a certain pleasurable life and acquire certain virtues or, you know, help a lot of people. Some people think that, you know, the point of life is to help others and things like that. But those don't work either. Why? Because whether you're pursuing virtue or pleasure or helping people or whatever else, those things also are finite. Those things are also fleeting. They never perfectly satisfy. So though those things are good, they're also means. So things below us, like wealth, honor, fame, power, stuff like that, or things that we can acquire in our character are both means to happiness, but they're not happiness itself. So if we can't find things that are below us that bring us happiness, and we can't find things that are in us that bring us happiness, there might be something above us. And what is the thing above us? God. Man, by his nature, is rational, okay? And rationality, as we talked about last week, has two tendencies. The intellect wants to know the truth, and the will wants what is good. God alone is perfectly true and perfectly good. All those other goods I just mentioned are partial, temporal, and finite, which means they can't satisfy us. So though our intellects who want the truth and our wills that want the good may rest in those things, those temporal, finite, worldly things for a little while and be partially satisfied, they will never be perfectly and completely satisfied until we possess goodness and truth itself, which is God. God made us for himself, as St. Augustine says, and we'll talk about this next week. God created us for himself. Nothing will satisfy us other than friendship with God. That's it. If that's true, that means everything else we do in this life, make money, play sports, go to church, everything we do needs to serve the end of acquiring friendship with God in this life and in the next. That's what all those things serve. So notice, if these reflections are accurate and true, we've kind of framed how a life well lived should be lived. A person should be directing their activity towards the ultimate goal, which is God. And then everything they do in this life needs to serve that end in some way. That's the idea. So to wrap up, we were made to be happy. I hope that's good news to you guys. The fact you want to be happy is a drive God gave you. I want to fan that desire for happiness into flame. What we need to be careful of is what object is going to make us happy. Will goods of this world make us happy? And we've seen through this little exploration today that no, they cannot. What they can do when you choose good means in this life, they can help us get closer to God. They can facilitate our ultimate goal, but they're not the ultimate goal themselves. Okay, so everything we do in this life should be directed towards unity with God. And I'll leave you with this. Our St. Joseph Society mission statement, our mission statement is, we attempt to, quote, order all things to Christ. The reason why I have that as a mission statement is directly in keeping with what we've been talking about today, okay? Everything in this world must serve the goal of the next world. Everything, with no exceptions. Anything that does not serve that end, it's got to go, okay? Anything that does serve that end, we should passionately and vigorously pursue. So this week, your homework, meditate on the fact that God wants you to be happy. That's a good thing. Embrace it. Fan that thing into flames. And then think about how the goods of this world, the things you have to do or the things you want to do, how they can ultimately serve that end. But all right, we are buttoned up a little over the 15-minute marks. We're hitting right where we want to be. But we'll end there. Next week, we're going to talk about the nature of the beatific vision. This is what heaven's going to be like. So it should be a fun conversation. Anyways, I hope you guys have a great week. Again, all these notes are online. You go to the website. It's all there for you. If you guys want to track along or you want to read some of the quotes I read and meditate on those, probably be helpful for you. But other than that, we're going to sign off. Hope you guys have a blessed week. See you next time.